On today's show, we're going to talk about male fertility kits, spanking, the superiority of French parents, and postpartum bellies. All that and more await you on Daddy on Board 75. There's only one universal tablet holder that I trust my iPad to. It's simple, comfortable, and provides me with 360-degree rotation. I'm talking about Handy Holder, of course. Go find out more about all their great tablet accessories when you visit their website, handyholder.com. Our show sponsors Gazelle.com. Take over 250,000 different types of used consumer electronic goods off your hands. Get fast payment, fair prices, and free shipping when you visit our sponsors, Gazelle.com. They're the industry leaders when it comes to radar detection, and they're our show sponsors, Cobra Electronics. Find out more about their entire line of detectors, GPS navigation, CB radios, and a whole lot more when you visit their website, Cobra.com. Wireless technology truly is wireless when you visit our friends over at PowerMat Technologies. Discover all the different wireless charging solutions that await you when you visit our show sponsor at PowerMat.com. Welcome to Daddy on Board 75. My name is Mike Quackenbush. I am a professional wrestler, a podcaster, and a parent. I have a 2.5-year-old son named Elliot, and on this podcast, I cull for you stories relating to the parentosphere, and I serve them up as I'm about to do right now. This story was new this week. FoxNews.com reported on this just a day or two ago about a new male fertility test that measures sperm count that is coming to the mass market in just a few months, including most notably retailers like Walgreens and CVS, which are two of America's largest drugstore chains. They're starting to sell a fertility test made available through Sperm Check Fertility. What an elegant name that is. This measures, as you can imagine, it checks the sperm. That's what it does. The name kind of gives it away, doesn't it? These tests are set to retail for right around a $40 price point in almost 8,000 U.S. pharmacies. A little bit later this year, I think they're expected to have a full rollout by April, is this new one. Says Maeve Enger, there's nothing like it on the shelf, says this marketer who's really helping to get the Sperm Check name out there. And with a name like that, I would like for it to get out there. Seems to be, according to them anyway, a big gap in the marketplace, as there are tons of female infertility tests and things like that. However, according to their research here, they said there is a $440 million a year market for male fertility tests in the U.S. So I guess we've all missed the boat on that. I wish I could have been a little bit quicker to market with that. According to the test's instructions that are coming up, it's simple to follow. A red line indicates that sperm count is normal. If you're curious what that means, it means 20 million or more per millimeter. That's what that means. While a negative result shows no color, no red line, indicates the sperm count is below normal, any reading like that means that men should, quote, consult a physician about a complete fertility evaluation. There you go. There's a related story somewhere about paternity tests at the dollar store, and I'll try to serve that up for you next week, because I would trust the dollar store to get me that information accurately. This one came to us via the New York Times. I always like to cite our sources so that you know exactly who it is that I'm ripping off for content. If you want to go over and visit them, their parenting blog, The Motherlode, sometimes called Adventures in Parenting, carried this story earlier this week. The U.S. Census Bureau is now saying that when a father is in charge of a household and the care of the child, that it is not parenting, but it is child care. This is a bizarre distinction, and also I would like to put forth at the top of this a somewhat insulting one at that, that given the new guidelines from the U.S. Census Bureau, that any time that both parents are present in the household with children, that the mother is automatically the designated parent. This is a real thing. This is a real government regulation. The mother is the designated parent. When dad is in charge, and according to the 2010 Census Bureau survey, you might be interested to know that 32% of the time it's dad at home who is the one responsible for the welfare of the child, that this is considered a child care arrangement, not parenting. So there you have it, dads. If you're not slapped in the face enough you know, by, like, media rhetoric and everything else every week. Even the U.S. government doesn't really see. Only the mother can be a designated parent. Parenting only takes place when she is in the home. When it's you, it's just a child care arrangement, says the U.S. Census Bureau. I wish there was, like, a silver lining that I was going, you know, like, a nice way to wrap that piece up there that kind of, oh, that's okay, or, no. No, I don't have that. Sorry. I've got another article here. This came, this was posted up on Boston.com, which is written by the entire city of Boston. They all write for that. This particular piece, by the way, was written by Deborah Kotz of the Globe. Some of this research that was included in the article that just came out here is based on research by the Canadian Medical Journal. And if that's anything like the CFL, already it's a little dubious, okay? However, this study, which is very, very interesting, suggests that it is counterproductive to spank children. It actually leads them to hit, kick, and bite more often. It also turns out that spanking increases the risk of aggressive behavior in both childhood and later on in adulthood as well. Study author Joan Durant, a psychologist from the University of Manitoba, that's in Canada, says the findings have been very consistent over the past 20 years. Physical punishment predicts only negative long-term outcome. Beyond which here, I'll cut down a little bit here, as I found this fascinating. This is direct from the article here. Besides increased aggression, spanking increases the likelihood of depression, anxiety, cheating, and criminal behaviors when the child becomes adult. It also weakens the parent-child bond, so parents have less influence in setting an example of morally correct behavior. This was from Murray Strauss, a University of New Hampshire sociologist who's been studying spanking for more than 20 years. And I want you to know that as soon as I read that, I thought, there's a guy who's been studying spanking for more than 20 years. There you have it. This entire article awaits you if you want to go over to Boston.com. It's posted up just a couple days ago over there. If you want to read all the findings and some conclusions that are being drawn by the author here based on this new research issued by the Canadian Medical Journal earlier this week about spanking. Yeah. So what I'm going to do here, before there's some other things I want to tell you about, obviously, otherwise the show would have just ended. I'd like to tell you a little bit about a new study about cutting obesity in kids. Are the French really superior parents? I don't know. And daddy's postpartum bellies. All that and more are going to be on the flip side after I tell you a little bit about our great show sponsors. Gazelle.com is a longstanding sponsor of us here at Grizzly Productions. We're very thankful for their sponsorship. Let me tell you what Gazelle.com wants to do. They want to give you money. It's pretty awesome. You're going to take those cell phones or MP3 players, other gadgets you have laying about the house that you don't use anymore, and you're going to give them to Gazelle.com, and they're going to give you money. They'll write you a check. They'll put money in your PayPal. They'll give you an Amazon.com gift card. It couldn't be easier. It's a very streamlined process. It's very simple, and I found them exceptionally honest to deal with as I've unloaded several of my gadgets through Gazelle.com. I like them a whole lot, and you will too. Go over and see Gazelle.com. When you're checking out, they may ask you how you heard about them. Please make sure you tell them it was through the Grizzly Productions Network, because I want them to like me. I also want to tell you very briefly about our show sponsor, Cobra. They are the makers of two fantastic systems, one of which I use every time I'm road tripping, called the iRadar system. It provides me with state-of-the-art laser, camera, and radar detection, as well as up-to-date traffic hazard information, which is all powered by the ARA Driving Hazard Database, an incredible, a revolutionary and award-winning system, I'd like to point out, that gets all of the information verified and re-verified twice a day, so you are getting the most up-to-date, real-time driving information you could ever need. It also keeps me alert, because I can make it very loud when I'm driving alone late at night. Go and check out Cobra.com for all the great goods from our friends over at Cobra Electronics. I'd be very grateful if you did. So, I want to talk about this. This was reported over at the ChicagoTribune.com website about a new study here, and it's actually the result of two different experiments have led to this. As it reads, behavior programs may cut the risk of childhood obesity. Something I want you to understand up front about this, there are no exact links between what's being presented here. You just have to sort of interpret the data as is. So here we go. Researchers have found that two programs aimed at preventing behavior problems in low-income urban preschoolers seem to also slash the risk of them later becoming obese. So, again, there's no direct correlation here. However, in one of these programs, for example, this one's called Parent Core, 24% of the children were obese by about age 8. But of kids that didn't go through the program, 54% of them, by comparison, were obese. So the lower obesity risk here is really just kind of a bonus, because this program does not focus on child's diet, exercise, or weight. And it kind of boils down to this here. This information from Lori Miller-Brotman told, or she's, by the way, so you know who I'm talking about, she's a professor of child and adolescent psychiatry at New York University, which apparently is an important place. She had this to say: most programs are aimed at getting kids to eat less calorie-rich food, getting them to exercise more, watch less TV, etc. And those efforts have, for the most part, failed, says Brotman. She and her colleagues believe that the programs in the current study worked because they looked at the bigger picture. Specifically, she says, there needs to be a focus on general parenting skills, noting that it may not be enough to tell parents to limit kids' television time or improve their diets. Many parents need to learn how to effectively do those things. The findings of these two experiments that it's based on were recently published in the journal Pediatrics. That's the name of it. You can find out more about this, and there's a lot of information awaiting you if you want to go check this out. About, and again, these are indirect links, but nevertheless, the evidence is somewhat compelling here. The numbers are certainly thought-provoking. Go over to chicagotribune.com and look for this piece posted up by Amy Norton over there just a day or two ago. I'm also going to tell you about... I lost my place here. I'm going to tell you very briefly about a piece that was posted up over on the Wall Street Journal. That's WSJ.com, which is quickly becoming one of my favorite places to steal information from. This piece by Pamela Druckerman is about, as she puts it quite bluntly, why French parents are superior. And I thought this was a very, very interesting, and this is based on her experience having lived in France, that she felt that, to paraphrase, that the children that she observed when she was out at restaurants or out on family holidays, the children of the French were incredibly better behaved than her own children. She is an American, I believe, and her husband is British, if I'm recalling the piece correctly. And puts forth a couple little things about the way that the French go about doing their parenting, which may be of interest to you, maybe not, but here they are. She observed that all of the children over there, as part of their, you know, daily ritual, always said hello, goodbye, thank you, and please to everyone. It helped them to be more compassionate, to learn that they aren't the only ones that have needs or feelings. When they were misbehaving, they gave them a stern look, rather than losing their temper or yelling or things like that. They really only have one snack a day over there. Late afternoon, 4 o'clock, they offer up a snack, and that is it. They also said that they were unabashed about telling the children who was in charge. Parents typically said, it is me who decides. And they also didn't seem afraid to say no. Kids sometimes need to learn how to cope with some frustration so that they have that as a device to use later in life. There's a whole lot more to just those oversimplified tips that I just gave you there about this author's experience observing them, and even some studies that were done comparing American parenting to French parenting. So we'll all swallow our American pride, I guess. And check out this article. Some very interesting information from Pamela Druckerman. That awaits you over at WSJ.com if you're interested to read more on French parenting techniques. I've got one more piece here that I want to tell you about. And this, I don't know that this is really the greatest idea ever. You know, I give a lot of credit to our friends over at Stroller Derby. That's babbel.com/StrollerDerby, parenting blog. But Meredith Carroll, I have to call you out on this one, as I don't know that this is really one of your better ideas. If you want to get in on this, dads, be my guest. Wow, is this is not my cup of tea or cup of pudding whatsoever. But Meredith Carroll over there is asking for new dads to send in photos of their postpartum bellies. Have you put on some sympathy weight throughout the course of your partner's pregnancy? Well, Meredith Carroll would like for you to send her a photo of your belly. They'll be posted up over on StrollerDerby.com. So if you feel like your belly's not getting enough media attention, Let me direct you to babbel.com/strollerderby to send in your photos there. Strollerderby@gmail.com is where you can send your giant high-res postpartum belly JPEGs, dads. Thanks so much for posting that up, Stroller Derby. Hey, I'm going to come back in a second here, and I'm going to tell you about some of the stuff going on out in the blogosphere, including, are toddlers really psychopaths? Also about a Los Angeles school district that fires all of their teachers over some incredible controversy that's going on out there. And also, a really cool place that has been bombarded, actually, that kind of went viral this week. I'll tell you about what they do with your kids' drawings. I've also got your little victories before we're all said and done here on Daddy on Board 75. But first, let's talk about PowerMat.com. These are the folks that make all the wireless charging solutions you could ever need. You've got all these gizmos and gadgets, you've got all these wires you've got to take with you when you go anywhere. Well, not if you've got PowerMat. Especially, in particular, one of their devices, the dual 1850 backup battery, which allows you to charge two devices at the very same time. You just charge up your power mat and take it with you. You never have to worry about taking wires, cords, chargers, or anything else with you. You'll never have to take adapters when you go overseas either. It is truly a wondrous device for this technology-rich age in which we live. You can take them in the car. You can take them virtually anywhere. The power mat. Go find out more about all their wireless charging solutions and the way they can simplify your life. Visit powermat.com. They are one of our great show sponsors, as are the fine folks over at handyholder.com. That's hand, the letter E, holder.com as one word. And they are the makers of this universal tablet holder strap thingamabob that I love. They also make other stuff too, like tripods, clamps, etc. But I use the one that goes right over my hand, and it keeps my iPad safe and secure. It can never slip from my grip. And, especially having a little one around the house, who occasionally likes to Jackie Chan kick my iPad when I least expect it, it is especially beneficial to me as a father. I like these folks over at handyholder.com. I never in a million years would have guessed how indispensable this particular accessory has become, but I never take it off my iPad. I absolutely love my handy holder, and I think you will too. So go over and check them out. All their products are made right here in the US of A. You hear that, Canada? Yeah, look out. handyholder.com. They ship to Canada, too. A couple things going over in the blogosphere this week. One of them meant to be a humorous article that certainly drew some heat for Rihanna Maidenberg, who posted this about, are all toddlers psychopaths? This is obviously not meant to be taken seriously, but some people have, to no surprise, as is the way of the internets. But this toddler blog points out the fact that if you go back and look at Robert Hare, the psychologist from the University of British Columbia, who years ago developed a 16-point checklist for determining whether a person was considered a psychopath and compared it to the behavior of your average 2-year-old, there might be some alarming similarities between the psychos and the 2-year-olds. But again, I am certain this was meant to be taken humorously, but people were really freaking out about it. I don't think for a moment that the author is really intending to say that toddlers are psychopaths. It is simply a lighter view of some of the things that we observe as parents. They talk about, of course, psychopaths have that superficial kind of charm that fades away immediately, that they have things like a lack of anxiety, or they never feel guilt about the feelings that they hurt or things like that. And of course, there are humorous ways in which you can analogize this with, you know, the developing minds of a 2-year-old, but I am fairly certain that there was nothing serious about this. This is posted up over on babbel.com/toddler. If you want to go and check out the 16-point checklist and compare your 2-year-old to your favorite psycho, that awaits you over there. One of the most blogged stories about this entire week, it's covered all kinds of places, it was really everywhere, about a Los Angeles school district, Miramont Elementary School in specific, where two teachers were accused of some really gross misconduct, emphasis on the gross, and all the teachers are being dismissed. That, of course, is the nature of the controversy. So, specifically here, I think I've said the word specific 7 times in this podcast already, a teacher, a former teacher from the elementary school, is accused of, this is a quote, inflicting bizarre abuse rituals on at least 23 young girls and boys, including blindfolding them, binding their mouths with masking tape, and placing cockroaches on their faces and mouths before photographing them. Another teacher at the same school was accused of the lesser thing, I think, of just groping 2 7-year-olds. The superintendent of the Los Angeles Unified School District announced that every single member of the faculty and staff at this school will be replaced this week. Probably by the time you hear this, actually, it will have happened. Their reasons for doing this are as follows. They say some acts of abuse allegedly took place in the classroom over a period of several years, and there's expected to be a long and exhaustive investigation into exactly who knew what and when they knew it. The district doesn't want to interrupt the education of the children at the school any further than need be, so they've decided to respond to, you know, the concerns of the parents, I guess, by replacing the entire faculty. Now, some people have gone on to say that they don't really feel that the removal of every familiar person in the entire building is the best way to continue the education of the students. Because by the time you hear this, they're going to be greeted by an entire new wave of teachers. There's also going to be a psychiatric social worker assigned to every class. And some are pushing this to me. I'm not exactly in favor of this, but they're saying that they think that a complete exposition to the children should be made about exactly what's gone on. And I don't know. Now, I don't have a child in this school, so I don't really have a say in it. This is just my own mindless opinion. I don't know that I'd want to sit down with my child, regardless of age, and explain to them how a teacher was blindfolding young boys and girls, binding their mouths shut, and putting cockroaches on their face to take pictures of them. I think the world is nasty enough without them finding out that that's what their teachers are up to. I'm going to go listen to The Wall by Pink Floyd now in a dark room somewhere. That was a hot one this week, kids. That one was everywhere. Hey, childsown.wordpress.com is a really cool website where your kid can send in a drawing of something, and they're going to make it. They'll make it into a plush toy. They'll make it into a real, physical object. However, this thing got really hot this week. It kind of went viral. And now guess what? They're swamped under hundreds or thousands of orders. So now's probably not such a good time if you're thinking about going over to childsown.wordpress.com. If this published earlier in the week, maybe you could have gotten in on this. But they did go on to say that, you know, they're trying to compensate for the fact that they're a little overwhelmed as need be. And, of course, yeah, they haven't said that they're not accepting orders or anything like that. They're just saying, hey, you might want to cool it for a little while. But go and check out what they do. It's something really neat and really original. And I'm surprised there aren't more people on this bandwagon. Perhaps based on what the demand is for this, there will be more sites just like it, custom making plush toys from children's illustrations, so on and so forth. Hey, I wanted to tell you before I get to your little victories about something that came to me called a dog dicer. What this thing is, it's a cutting device. It's, I don't know, not terribly large. It's meant to, like, easily cut up hot dogs into, like, bite-sized bits for your little one. And in my house here, we don't eat a lot of hot dogs. I'm not saying we never eat hot dogs. I'm just saying we don't eat a lot. However, we do eat a lot of bananas. And the dog dicer had been appropriated, despite the fact that there are no such pictures on the packaging for the dog dicer, saying that it's okay to do this with a banana. I have been using it, as have other people in my house who will remain nameless, to cut bananas for my son Elliot. However, let me also state that it is clearly not meant to withstand the rigor of the banana. Nevertheless, it is a pretty clever little device. The dog dicer might save you a lot of time. It's certainly getting a lot. It gets used every single day here since it's arrived at my house. If I can, I'll dig up some more information about that, and I'll share it with you next week. But I am behind the dog dicer. I'm behind you, dog dicey types. Well done. Hey, here at the end of the program, I like to read your little victories, and I will. Do you know how we find them? I'll tell you. First, you've got to tweet it to us, right? You could @mention us, we're the daddy on board, or use the hashtag little victories, we can find them that way. You could post them on our Facebook fan page, I think we have a Google Plus page, I don't know where else we are, we're all over the place. You can't send it by carrier pigeon, I won't get it. But if you send it out over there, I might read it here at the end of the episode. I like to pick my favorites, and I will read your little victories for you. And of course, I always love meeting loyal Dob Bobbers like you in person. So if you want to come out and see me live, hey, guess what? Apart from when I'm podcasting out of my basement, I'm sometimes performing live. If you want to come and see me wrestle, I'm on the road with Chikara. That is my home wrestling federation. You can read up about all our upcoming tour dates on chikarapro.com. I'm wrestling next in Reading, PA, Long Island, New York, the greater Toronto area, also Canada's capital of Ottawa. I'm coming to Rahway, New Jersey, Chicago, Illinois, and Lafayette, Indiana, all in the very near future, and a whole lot more. A bunch of new tour dates will be released very soon over at ChikaraPro.com. You can also catch me every Sunday. I team up with Natalie Morris over on The Trending Show, which is also here on this fine podcasting network, GrizzlyProductions.tv. Without further ado, Jim, bring in the post-production. Na-na-na, little victories. Hey, this first one was sent to us by Mike Zook, who writes to us quite frequently. Mike writes, our daughter has slept through the night two nights in a row. Congratulations, Mike, for writing that into us, and thanks for at mentioning us so I could find it easily on Twitter. Jared Kerman writes to us, ever hear of the Nose Frida? As a matter of fact, I have. If you don't know what he's talking about, it's a new type of aspirator. It's like a snot sucker is what they call it. And it's supposed to be more sanitary than your average one because it has little replaceable filters so that the bogeys don't get all jammed up in there. Anyway, Jared writes, it's all the rage in New York City. Yeah, all right, fair enough. Recently recommended by our pediatrician, my five-month-old will breathe easier from now on, but I won't ever be the same again. This is what real love is. And I think by that he means snot sucker. Thanks for sending that in to us, Jared. And Tommy Malendi wrote to us, for 2 weeks, I was teaching my dog how to roll over for a treat. One day, I went to grab a treat from the box, and he was rolling over two or three times in a row without me having to forcefully do so or even tell him to roll over. Tommy, this is not a child. And if you had written to me that your child was doing this, as amused as I might be, I might think, what are you doing teaching that kid to roll over for dog treats? Nevertheless, I appreciate all of you taking the time to write in to the program. Next week, I've got some new products that I'm going to be talking about and a whole slew of news stories relevant to your parenting experience. I look forward to seeing you back here in about 7 days for a program tentatively titled Daddy on Board 76. Adios, amigos.